When the strong man, fully armed, guards his courtyards, his property is undisturbed. But if a stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he will take away his whole armor on which he was depending, and will divide his spoils. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We start here the second talk today of our Day of Recollection. And in the sermon, the first, which is the first talk of the day, we talked about the very reality that living a grace-filled life and being faithful to our baptismal promises is hard. It's a difficult task to do. It's something that requires us to sacrifice. It's something that requires sincere effort and consciousness on our part to continue to strive and to work for, to work to gain that and ground in that way. It's that way because it is a supernatural action that we can only do by grace. Now, for us, if we know that we need the grace to actually fulfill those duties, if we need the grace to be able to live a very good and spiritual and righteous life, and to be able to gain ground in our love and service of God, and also to maintain, to the best of our abilities, our baptismal promises, where does that grace come from? If it's so necessary, we have to identify the very source of where that comes from for ourselves. And it's certainly there by our supernatural actions that we make in life. So our prayers are one of the chief sources of grace that we have in our day-to-day life. The sacrifices that we can make throughout the day, the doing of our duties well, and doing our duties and offering them back up to our Lord, those all together are sources of daily grace that we obtain for ourselves. And the more conscious we are of those things, and the more effort we put forth in them, the more graces we obtain for ourselves. Yet, it's not the most important source of grace for us. That, rather, is the Mass and good Holy Communions. That is the chief of all the sources of grace that we can obtain. And the Church tells us this by mandating that we come every Sunday, in which we have Mass and we're able to attend, which, you know, St. Hugh, we have Mass at a minimum every Sunday and Holy Day. So it's mandated that we come as long as we live in general radius of that, under pain of sin. And the purpose for that is that recognition that Mass is the normal means by which we sanctify ourselves. It's not something that is to be considered extra special. It is extra special because it's a great miracle that happens upon the altar, of course, as we know. But in our day-to-day lives, it's something that should be like a normal practice for us because it is such an important foundation in our growth in the spiritual life. As the normal means for grace, it's there to be something regular for us, because on any given day, we don't actually know how much grace we need. Think about that for a second. We don't know what the trials of tomorrow are going to bring us. We don't know what temptations are going to come our way. We don't know what kind of persecution we may undergo. That all awaits us in the future, today, this afternoon, tomorrow, down throughout the week. We don't know exactly what lays ahead of us, what difficulties are there. But I know that depending on the difficulty, I will need an increase of grace to be able to successfully come through those instances. And it's this that we look to the Mass, because in the Mass, the reason why it's a normal means of sanctifying ourselves, because there we find an infinite treasury of graces. We can't say that about anything else. Our rosaries are good. Our prayers are good. Our sacrifices are good. But they're not infinite, because only God is infinite. Only He is the one that is able to make an action that has no limit to it. And He does that on Calvary. And so our Mass is this infinite wellspring for us to draw from. Now, when we look at today's gospel, again, coming back to the liturgy of the day, when we look at today's gospel, what do we see? Our Lord talks about the man who arms himself to keep his court. He arms himself to protect his possessions, to protect all that is rightfully his. And when people come and attack, and people come and try to take those things away from him, the more he arms himself up, the more secure he is in that spot. And he arms himself up to what he feels comfortable. But what would happen if one stronger than he were to come along? That's what our Lord asks in that bit of the parable there. He asked that question. It kind of reminds me of what my father used to always tell me as a young boy, to make sure that I didn't get too full of myself, didn't get too haughty in anything that I did. He'd always tell me, don't you forget, there's always somebody bigger than you, there's always somebody tougher than you, there's always somebody smarter than you and better than you out there. So you might think that you're special, but there's always somebody that's better at you at something, at anything along the way. There's too many people for there not to be. And so it's always kind of like a good reminder there on the natural plane. But on the supernatural plane, it's just the same. That man is off. He's fine until that stronger one comes and he arms himself with the spoils of that man's armor. And then now he takes over all of his possessions. Well, for us in the spiritual life, that's us. We're armed up. Every time I say my rosary, boom, piece of armor. Every time I offer up a sacrifice, I perhaps give myself a spear. Every time I do some sort of pious action throughout the day, I'm building up that armor. I'm building up that strength that I need to fight the spiritual battle that I know is coming my way. Yet I don't know how much I need in order to guard my soul successfully. And so each time I do something, and they're all good, I put a little bit more on. But in the Mass, I find for myself the possibility of infinite armament, of creating a solid foundation that is defensible against anything that comes my way. And so I make myself the strongest man on the field by my regular occurrence at Mass and my devotedness to that Mass. I'm a finite being. I can't myself possess infinite graces because I don't have an infinite nature. Only God does. But I can gain innumerable amounts just from one action, one good assistance at Mass. Let me illustrate that by a story of a miraculous conversion. There was a woman that she was a very old woman, very poor woman, and she couldn't afford even some of the basic necessities of life, but she was devout. And so she went and she kind of walked along very slowly and entered into this meat shop. And when she came in there, the owners of the meat shop, he was a faithless man. He was essentially an atheist, didn't believe in God, didn't have any liking for religion at all. And so he sees this old, frail woman come in, and she asks him if he could spare her a little bit of meat. And so the man says, well, how much do you want? How much can you afford to have? And she says, well, I have no money to give you, so I can't afford anything. But I'm hoping for a little bit of generosity on your part. And in reward for that, I'll hear a Mass for your behalf. And the man kind of scoffs and he goes, well, what good is that going to do? And she says, oh, no, you know, that's the best I can give you is to hear a Mass for you. And he laughs at her and he says, all right, go ahead. You go and you attend your Mass for my sake. And when you come back, I'll weigh out your Mass and see how much that equates to the amount of meat that I should give you. And so the woman goes away, and she hears the Mass devoutly, comes back to the butcher and says, okay, I've heard Mass for you. So the butcher takes a piece of paper, writes down, you know, one Mass heard on my behalf. And takes that little piece of paper and he places it on one end of the scale. And then takes a very thin strip of meat off of the bone and he places it on the other end of the scale. The scale doesn't move. The paper is heavier. And he looks at it, puzzled. So he takes a thicker cut of meat, adds that to it. Still nothing. Then takes a big chunk of meat and puts it on there. Nothing moves. He looks at the lady and goes, does this mean I have to give you an entire leg of the lamb? And she just kind of looks at him. And so he goes and gets the whole leg and places it on there. And then an even bigger piece of meat on top of that. The scale never moves. And at that moment, that man witnesses this great miracle. He realizes just what this woman has done for him. He realizes that he can never pay her back for just that simple action of hearing a Mass on his behalf. And so he looks to her and he says, well, I tell you what, I can't give you enough meat, but you've truly changed the heart of this cold, sour man. And of the gratitude for the greatness that you've done for me in hearing that Mass, I promise you, to the day you die, you come here every single day, and I will set aside a bit of meat for you to fulfill whatever you need. And he did, all the way through her death, and he himself converted on it. It just illustrates just how powerful one Mass can be. Now, here, in St. Hugh, I don't want to make it sound like people aren't devoted to the Mass. It would be wrong for me to say that people here don't come to extra Masses. It would be wrong for me to begrudge the parish as a whole for not attending extra devotions and things like that here and being attentive to the needs of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, what he deserves. We do a very good job. Now, that's not to say that we can't do better. There's always room for improvement. There's always room any of us can improve. But it's not my point of this talk to say, like, you know, you faithless sinners, you don't come to Mass. You're good about that. But what I want to draw your attention to is how well do we attend Mass? And how devoted to that Mass that we attend are we really? Because it's an important aspect. Both areas I know that we can improve on, because we can always improve until the day we die. And both areas, I think, is something that oftentimes we don't think enough about, the quality of the way we hear, participate at a Mass. How well do we attend? What does the Church give us in order to fulfill our requirements of being said to have heard Mass? What does it give us for, say, Sunday, to fulfill our holy day of obligation on Sunday? Well, it requires of us physical and moral presence during the principal parts of the Mass. So that the three principal parts of Mass are the offertory, the consecration, and the priest's communion. Those three are absolutely necessary to attend to fulfill one's obligation. And moreover, we need to be both physically and morally present. It's decided that the physical presence is that either we are within sight of the Mass, or we can at least, if we're obstructed in some sort of way, if we had, you know, say, there's too many people in the pew and you couldn't see, and you were out in the vestibule and you were behind the wall. If you at least were able to hear the bells ring, that would constitute a physical presence at the sacrifice of the Mass. In that time, that was oftentimes the case when you considered this is just the size of some of the churches and some of the crowds that would come years ago to Masses. Sometimes you would be way in the back. Sometimes you might be outside, but you're still part of that congregation, you're still part of that body there, and even though you might not be able to see exactly what's going on, you are still physically present. The moral presence is that we have a prayerful attendance of Mass, that we aren't, you know, if I came here and I just started playing a video game on my phone or something like that, then, and I have no intention of actually, you know, assisting at the Mass in any way, shape, or form, then I can't really say that I've been morally present at the Mass. I've been here. I could be sitting in the front row, but I'm not paying any attention whatsoever. That shouldn't be confused with if we are distracted by our own thoughts or our own whatever goes on. You know, we have that intention to try to assist at Mass, and because of our own human feebleness, our own human weakness, we might not do as good of a job as we could or should. But we shouldn't say, oh, no, I haven't even fulfilled my Sunday obligation. No, if we have a basic understanding of we want to be there for the sake of the Mass, then we've done so. But but a moral presence is necessary. So real bare minimums of what is necessary to fulfill the attendance of Mass. But like so much in life, I don't want to just last at the bare minimum, because I'm only going to get a little bit out of that. But rather, we want to get out of Mass as much as we can. And we do so by how much we are attached to that Mass, how much we put into it, because that is but the measure from which I'll reap of those graces. There's an infinite amount of grace contained in every Mass. It's why you can honestly say that, you know, when if the Mass is being offered for, you know, Joe Schmo, but then the priest gets to the memento and he also prays for his family and for the congregation and for other intentions that he might have needs of, he hasn't taken away from the Mass being said for Joe Schmo. And just the same as when you include your intentions in your attendance of Mass, you haven't taken away from anything at all. There's no limit to that. However, what we take for ourselves depends on how much we want to grab from that. For example, I'll use an analogy to illustrate that a little bit. I could take anybody here and bring them to an opera. Now, some of you may like that. Most of you probably wouldn't. Because you're not invested in something like an opera. And so if you came along, you would attend, you would watch it, you'd pay attention to it, you'd get a little bit out of it, but you would leave there and you'd just be happy to go. Or, you know, you would not care one way or the other that you were attending it or something like that. But if you took time and you learned about music and you took time and you read the libretto and you took time and you saw and realized and appreciated the skill involved in those performing that and all of those things, and you took that time to kind of learn more about it and appreciate it more and then attend and see that show live, you would take more from that experience. You'd gain more from it because you've invested yourself more into it. And the same can be said for the Mass. The more we are attentive at Mass, then the more we get out of it. That's why this year I've chosen, for when I'm here at St. Hugh, to focus on those prayers for the Lenten liturgical cycle, for the days of the Lenten Masses this year. So think about how do we attend Mass ourselves and how can we get better? Perhaps asking a few questions along the way now will help. For instance, do you take time and not only read over but meditate upon those things that are contained in the proper of the Mass of the day? Every day it changes. Every day something different. Every day is a different spirit that we're supposed to get out of that Mass. And if we read through the propers of the Mass, and we study them, and we look, and we meditate upon those points, there's so much information that we can glean from one solitary Mass. So much food for our spiritual thought throughout the day. How well do you know the prayers and appreciate the prayers of the ordinary of the Mass, the prayers that we say every single Mass? How familiar are you with them? How well do you follow them when you're here? How often do you think about them and what you're actually praying? Because those prayers are what makes that Calvary happen. When you're at Mass, do you follow in the Missal? Because as St. Pius X says, it's the most perfect way of attendance at Mass. There's many ways to attend Mass well, but that is the most perfect of that. And do you think about the prayers being offered as you're reading along and realize that you are not just following those prayers, you are praying those prayers. That when the priest says those prayers, you are saying those prayers too. Even if you're not following along, you are still saying those prayers. Because it is, as Pius XII defined, your Mass, just as well as it is mine. So every word I say, you say along with me. I am the principal offerer of the sacrament when I am here saying the Mass. I am the one that actually brings down our Lord from heaven. But that Mass is no less yours. You own every word of that Mass that is said there. And so how familiar are you with those words that you offered to our Lord? When you come to Mass, do you make a good preparation before Mass? Do you make a good thanksgiving after Mass? All of that is invested in our Mass. Some of the saints would talk about living their entire lives as preparation or thanksgiving for Mass. I believe it was, I forget exactly which saint it was, but he only was able to attend once a week the Holy Sacrifice every Sunday. And he'd spend the first half of his week, Monday through Wednesday, as making thanksgiving for the Mass that he had attended. And then the second half of his week, all of the things that he did and prayed were in preparation for the next Holy Communion that he was able to make. So do we come and spend even just a few minutes beforehand to prepare our souls? We, you know, think about it. You come walk through the doors of the church. You just come from the world outside and all of its distractions and all of its dirtiness and all of its temptations and all of the things that bother us through from day to day. And you walk in here. And if you just come in at the very beginning of Mass and you fall down upon your knees, do you think all of that just stays magically outside at the door? Of course not. You've dragged it in with you. You need to take that time and get yourself focused upon what you're about to do in order that you may be ready to attend as attentively as possible. Because you know what? All of those things, they need to be left at the door for us to be able to attend Mass well. We need to leave them behind. They don't concern us here. All the worries that I have in life, this is the one place I can leave them behind, and I can just give all of myself to God. And then for the great gift of a good communion, how can I not be so thankful to be able to witness Calvary, to be counted among Saint John and the Blessed Virgin Mary there at the foot of the cross, and to become another Saint Christopher and another Blessed Virgin Mary and be a Christ bearer myself when I receive a good communion. Serving Mass, choir, those things, those actions that people do and eventually take on kind of as just duties and another task to be done. There's so much grace involved in those simple actions. The choir, you know, he who sings prays twice, as St. Augustine says. The servers taking a role of somebody who is on their way towards the priesthood, that of the ordained acolyte. Being closer than everybody else to the Holy Sacrifice. Being invited to be contained within the sanctuary of the church. Being there and being able to see with a view that nobody else gets to that Holy Sacrifice take place. But how often do we think about those things? How often do we think about, you know, the choir making the responses and singing the propers that they are assisting in that praying of the Mass? How often does the choir take time to read over what they sing and really know and get to understand the purpose of their singing? How often do the servers look over what they pray and say in the Mass and realize that they are responding for everybody in the church? How often do they look at the rubrics that they perform and realize that everything is for a purpose and they are helping make that sacrifice possible? Just one little example of that, you know, how many servers realize that when the priest bends over to say the confiteor, they remain kneeling erect. But even just that simple non-movement has a purpose, that you represent all of the congregation and all of the angels and saints of heaven in being witness to the priest admitting his own guilt before our Lord in the tabernacle and the altar. And there's so many spiritual aspects of that to be gleaned from all the movements of servers and all the responses done. All of those things being invested in your Mass. You take out of it what you put into it. And I think that is something that we all need to constantly realize for ourselves, because we will make better Masses. We will appreciate it more and more. The attending Mass, being at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, and assisting at it well, is the one thing I can think of in all of life, that the more we do it, the less it is routine, the more we appreciate it. Think of everything else you do in your life, even all the good stuff that you do, let alone all the menial tasks. You know, nobody's going to pretend that you know, sweeping the floor at the house is not something that, oh, it gets more and more boring as you go along. You're not going to discover much in the way of new ideas of sweeping, you know, to appreciate it better. No, it's a boring task. It's something that needs to be done. It's a worthwhile task, but it's, you know, but even think of all the good things that you do. The more you do them, the less you appreciate them. You know, every time we do something that is either enjoyable, so say if you went on vacation, you enjoy going on vacation. If you went on vacation every week, then vacation would not be as special. If we do acts of charity, we feel good about those acts of charity that we do, but it becomes just another task the more and more we do that, or at least we're tempted towards that. But the more we assist and assist well at the sacrifice of the Mass, the more I appreciate just exactly what that Mass is. The more I understand that, the more invested in it I am, and the less likely I am to take it for granted.